Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The debate over the right way to respond to homelessness reached a new breaking point in Sacramento. The county's top prosecutor, District Attorney Ten Ho, is suing the city of Sacramento over its homeless enforcement. The civil lawsuit says the city allowed, created, and enabled a public safety crisis regarding our unhoused. California accounts for a third of the county's homeless population, but Sacramento County is an outlier, experiencing a 67% increase from 2019 to 2022. To compare, during that same time period, Los Angeles saw a roughly 4% rise, and San Francisco actually dropped by 3.5%. This lawsuit is an escalation months of tension between the county and the city. The mayor is currently out of the country. He's on assignment by the governor touring prison reform in Norway, but in a statement says in part that the frustration that members of our community feel is absolutely justified. But the DA's lawsuit will not clear a single sidewalk nor get a single person off the streets. We're working every day and night to enforce our laws, to provide relief to our community, while avoiding the futile trap of just moving people endlessly from one block to the next. So with that, we welcome Sacramento County District Attorney Ten Ho with more on what this lawsuit may accomplish. Good morning, District Attorney.
Good morning, and thank you for having me back on your show again.
Yep, look forward to having the conversation. You held a press conference yesterday. It was widely covered, so I don't want to rehash what was said yesterday. In the spirit of this conversation, I just have questions regarding your press conference from yesterday, and I know I'm not alone in that. So this is your first year as District Attorney, but you have been with the Sacramento District Attorney's Office for years, so you have seen firsthand the rise in homelessness in Sacramento County. When did you begin thinking about this lawsuit?
So first of all, I've been a prosecutor for 23 years, been a prosecutor here in Sacramento for almost 20 years. And really, approximately 3 years ago, we started to see the significant rise in our homeless and unhoused population. And in fact, that number, when you look at a seven-year period, has increased by 250%. And when I'm out in the community and I oversaw our community prosecution team, the top issue that we were facing was our unhoused crisis for those that live on the streets and those that live in homes. It's not compassionate for anybody or safe for anybody.
The city attorney, in response to the lawsuit yesterday, says that the city has been trying to work with your office multiple times over this year. Why not work with the city longer?
Well, you know, we've always worked with the city. We continue to work with the city over the years. The issue is there is a difference in philosophy in terms of enforcement of the law. When you look at the last year, and the city attorney sent me an email in which they admitted that over the last year, there's not been a single citation and prosecution for any of the unhoused ordinance, such as the sidewalk obstruction, such as the unlawful storage. And the city claims that they have been able to obtain voluntary compliance. And to that, I would say, if anybody believes that there has been voluntary compliance, walk down C Street, walk down Alhambra, walk down Commerce and Bannon and Auburn in the middle of the night, barefoot, alone, and come back and tell me if there has been voluntary compliance. And that's really the fundamental difference there. We've prosecuted, you know, 11,000 misdemeanors last year, and we continue to do it and work in a fair and balanced way. But we have to have all of our partners continue to have enforcement of the law in a fair and equal way that is balanced and that is compassionate.
So we all know that shelter space does not meet the current population of individuals experiencing homelessness on any given night in Sacramento County. There's 2,600 beds throughout the county. Within the city, there's roughly 1,200 beds. So where do they go if they can't be in encampments or on the street?
Well, first of all, I'm a believer that we need to have more affordable housing and more shelter, more treatment beds. In fact, I am a supporter of Governor Newsom's bond to add 10,000 additional mental health beds, a proponent of changing our conservatorship law and our Mental Health Services Act, all of that. But in the short term, how do we deal with the chronically unhoused? And the chronically unhoused are those that have been homeless for more than a year. In that subset, and our unhoused population is not monolithic, but in that subset, 9 out of 10 women in that subset are victims of sexual assault. 8 out of 10 of the chronically unhoused suffer from mental health and drug addiction. So how do we, in the short term, encourage and help people get into treatment and services? when Sheriff Cooper, and they've done a lot in terms of the homeless outreach team, went out and contacted those in the chronically unhoused area, they refuse services and refuse shelter. So if we have, and at the DA's office, we have a program called the CORE program. And it's similar to what I'm advocating for on a greater scale, the Haven for Hope model, which is people who commit multiple nonviolent offenses, instead of going to jail, they can go to treatment. And if they complete that treatment, they never do a single day in jail. We don't want to criminalize homelessness. We want to deal with the underlying issues of mental health and drug addiction.
Hmm. When you mentioned that survey that was, I believe, done by the sheriff's office that reported that 9 out of 10 women who are unhoused, they experience sexual assault. How does potentially penalizing those on the street or without housing, how does that get them into stability and safety?
Well, first of all, we go back to the other statistic I mentioned, 8 out of 10, substance abuse, mental health disorder. So if we can use the intervention from law enforcement, the intervention from our criminal justice system, like a CARE Court model or the Haven for Hope model or what we do with the CORE program, we're able to stabilize individuals in terms of their mental health and drug addiction, which they are using oftentimes to deal with the trauma, whatever trauma they've had in their lives. So now let's get them off the streets. Let's stabilize them, give them the shelter, give them the treatment, and then get them into transitional housing. But we can't do any of that unless we have the enforcement and the compliance on the short-term level to help them get into that. And so it starts there, first and foremost. And that's what I've been disappointed in regards to the city's lack of enforcement and compliance, which I've seen and experienced in being on the ground with our prosecutors, with our law enforcement, with our providers. I see that.
Hmm. When it comes to mental and behavioral health, when you're talking about addiction, I mean, that really comes from the county. The county is an umbrella of the city. The county has a larger budget. It is responsible for those type of services. So why not sue the county and not just the city of Sacramento?
And I've been asked that question many times. And what I've seen here in the last year firsthand is that on the county level, with the sheriff and the homeless outreach team, they're going out there and conducting compliance, but outreach. I also have seen that the county is on par to add anywhere between 300 and 500 additional beds by the end of the year. They've hired multiple behavioral navigators that are actually going out embedded with the city. So they are with the city, going in there at the direction of the city, where to go, how to do the outreach. The problem is when they go in the city and conduct that outreach with the city, those that are in the chronically unhoused subset are refusing the services and the shelter. You know, and I remember at one point, about a year and a half ago, actually going to, and a lot of people don't know this, I was up in San Francisco with Assemblymember Jim Cooper, who's now our sheriff. And we were speaking with a gentleman by the name of Tom Wolf, who talked about how he got addicted to fentanyl, ended up sleeping in the alleyway in the Tenderloin. And Tom was telling us that when he was under the influence of fentanyl and somebody came up and asked him, hey, here are the services available, here's what you can do, he said, I ignored them because they were interfering with my high. And so I said, Tom, how did you get off the streets? He says, look, what happened was I was arrested for carrying what we call dope, drugs for these dealers over here. And I ended up in jail. I got a chance to sober up and was able to get my life back on track with treatment. And so before we can get to the services that you're talking about with the county, we need to have the enforcement and the compliance first so that we can help encourage those individuals to get that. Instead of doing jail time, I want people to get treatment and services. That's what we need to do to deal with the underlying issues.
But by criminalizing them, doesn't that dig them into a further hole to get out and even get into affordable housing?
Well, you have two different options. One is you do nothing, in which case they stay where they are, like Tom was, and they continue in that state. You know, we talk about insanity. Insanity, one of the definitions, doing the same thing over and over again without any success, and yet you keep doing it. What we're doing here is insanity. We need to break that cycle of addiction and get them into the treatment. And It's not criminalizing individuals because we're giving them the opportunity, the encouragement. And that's what drug court used to be, is to get people in there to try to get them the treatment, the help they need. And so there is a place for it. There is definitely a place for that we're trying to do.
Yeah, as I mentioned, California is home to roughly a third of the country's unhoused population. That has been a sticking point with Republicans that criticize Democratic policies in the state. Are there politics involved in this? I mean, do you think Democrat-led policies, we are a Democrat supermajority, have failed in response to homelessness?
This isn't about politics. It's about public safety. It's not about partisanship. It's about public safety. You know, in the stories that I talk about, and, you know, it's on both sides. I mean, I saw a woman recently on the corner of J and 15th Street where she was, you know, 100 degree weather, barefoot, unhoused, hopping on a sizzling sidewalk. I've seen people in the rain wrapped up in blankets in the wintertime. I've seen people suffering a mental health breakdown, their pants halfway down. It's not compassionate for people to living in conditions consistent with third world countries. On the other side, I have people who are afraid to walk their children to the park. Little girls can't play soccer on a field because of broken needles. So where do we draw that balance for both the housed and the unhoused? Whatever it is we're doing now and whatever we've been doing is not working. So let's try something. Let's work it. And so am I shaking things up? Absolutely. But I think we need to move the needle in the right direction.
If this lawsuit is successful, what does it accomplish?
What it does is I've asked for several things. First of all, the lawsuit, nobody's asking for money. We want what we call injunctive relief, which is that the court mandates that the city do certain things. Number one, consistent enforcement, all right, that is fair and across the board to everyone, that is balanced and compassionate, but you have to enforce the law in regards to the ordinances. Number two, we need to add additional safe ground sites as well that are professionally run. When you have multiple encampments that are spread out, it's really difficult to give concentrated services. So let's have safe ground sites that are professionally run. I've advocated that from the beginning. The other thing is we need to have a real-time date access to shelter bed availability that is available to everyone, all the partners, including law enforcement. And it's a model down that they have in San Diego. So these are some of the proposals that I have. I listed them in a letter that I sent to the city on August the 7th. You can find that on the DA's website at sacda.org.
Have you talked with other district attorneys? I mean, I think this is the first of its kind, a county suing, you know, its own city. I mean, is this a response that you think other local governments may take?
You know, other prosecutors, other leaders have spoken to me about it, and they've asked the legal theory and the reasoning behind it. But really, it comes down to every specific community, because every community has different needs. This is a local crisis, in my opinion, created by local decisions and indecisions. This is a local issue. And so, you know, what works here in Sacramento doesn't work here, may not work for other communities. And really, I'm here as, you know, a resource for anybody that has questions, but it's really a local issue.
You mentioned that there's a lot of compassion behind this litigation. You know, what do you say to grassroots, nonprofits, community organizations? They operate on small, shoestring budgets. They have a great deal of compassion for people who are unhoused, and they oppose this lawsuit. They think it's not the right step.
You know, there is a, what I believe is this. I've never questioned anybody's capacity for compassion or anyone's intention. I may disagree with a particular approach. At the end of the day, we all want to get to the same place, to get people off the streets, the treatment, the health they need, the transitional housing, all of that. And if we can, on the front end, stop homelessness, let's do that as well. I'm a believer in affordable housing, but we need to, you know, come together, because whatever it is that we're doing here is not working. And I think that everybody agrees that whatever it is we're doing here is not working at all. In fact, we are regressing, and that's not fair to the people in the street. So I have great respect for our nonprofits, you know, our community-based organizations. They do amazing, amazing work, and I'm a big supporter of them as well. I just believe that in order to get to that space, we need to have some compliance with the law, these proposals, and let's get to the right place.
Yeah, there's a lot of passionate views about solving this, and they can conflict with each other. I go back to the first time you joined us on Insight when you were DA-elect, and you shared your own lived experience. You and your family fled communist Vietnam, you know, in the 1970s. Mm-hmm. You were 5 years old. You arrived in Stockton. You didn't even have a mattress to sleep on. You overcame poverty and language barriers to become one of the few Asian American DAs in the country. How does that shape your approach to homelessness in California?
You know what? I know what it feels like to be hungry. I know what it feels like to wear the same pair of shoes when you're a little kid and, you know, it doesn't fit anymore. I know how it feels to be down. But I also know that this country has a tremendous capacity for compassion and to help each other. And we may disagree on how to get there, but being on your show and listening and really listening to other people, there's a lot of great ideas. We may not all agree on those ideas, but we can talk about it. We can learn from each other. And the idea here is let's move forward and do something different than what we're doing. And at the end of the day, we all have great compassion, but that compassion needs to be balanced. And let's find a way out of this. And we can, and we will.
Sacramento County District Attorney Tin Ho, thank you for the time.
Thank you so much.
As I mentioned, we reached out to the city and Mayor Daryl Steinberg. Both were not available, but we do have their statements on our Insight page as well as our homepage of capradio.org. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.